It's Monday of the first week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zilsdorf. In the pilgrimage we are making in our hearts and imaginations today, we gather at the Roman Church of Saints Cosmas and Damian by the Roman Forum, and then process solemnly singing litanies up to the station church, San Pietro in Vincoli, St. Peter in Chains on the Oppian Hill, which is an outcropping of the Esquiline. 16 centuries ago, this is where the prefecture was located, where many Christians were condemned to death. The original church was erected in 431 in the time of Celestine I, and it was dedicated to Saints Peter and Paul. Tradition holds that the chains which held St. Peter in the prison in Jerusalem had been given to the Empress Eudoxia, who in the 5th century gave them to Leo the Great, who rebuilt this church and placed the chains there for our veneration down to our day now. Here also are the relics of the Maccabee brothers of the Old Testament, as well as Michelangelo's statue of Moses, originally made for the tomb of Julius II in 1513. In the older form of Mass, the texts were influenced by the theme of imprisonment. Christ told Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that one day he would be bound and taken to where he did not want to go. Well, that would happen. Peter would be bound in chains and taken to the Circus of Caligula on the Vatican Hill, and there crucified upside down and buried in a nearby cemetery. So chains are, in a sense, very much a symbol of the patrine vocation. The first reading from Holy Mass in the Vetus Ordo today is from the prophet Ezekiel about how shepherds pasture their sheep by running waters, and we see this scene depicted in the mosaics of apses of Roman churches. In the reading, the shepherd goes looking for the lost sheep. The Gospel reading is about how the good shepherd will separate the sheep from the goats. And since we are at San Pietro in Vincoli today, we are reminded of the fact that the Lord preserved his chief shepherd for the church from prison so that he could serve him and then die in Rome. For this Lent, I'm doing some practical readings, short little readings from Cardinal Richelieu's A Treatise on Perfection, Saintly Counsel on Obtaining Salvation. We've gotten to Counsel 4. True devotion ought to bring discipline and moderation to the body, soul, and spirit, and nothing should be undertaken without moderation. Authentic devotion ought always to tend toward subduing the passions and caprices of the soul. If any person decided, in order that he might fully overcome the senses of the body, to fast for an entire week, but neglected to address the vice of pride, he has not done anything commendable or useful. The spirit, like the body, can indulge in its pleasures, caprices, perversities, and acts of excess. Temperance and moderation are equally necessary for the spirit and the body. Austerities and strictures are never an end in themselves, but only useful as a mean of achieving their own proper goal. Above all, they serve the purpose and have the objective of rendering the human spirit humble and submissive to the will of God. Excessive physical austerity and self-denial generally stirs up and agitates the passions of the blood and the desires of the flesh more than subduing or calming them. There are many who consider themselves to have been greatly elevated because they practice harsh fasting or penitence, yet who do not truly progress in any real spiritual or moral sense at all. The Oratio Super Populum from the Vetus Ordo. Let us pray. Bow your heads to God. Loose the bonds of our sins, we beseech you, O Lord, and mercifully turn aside whatever punishment we deserve for them. Oremus, humiliate capita vestra Deo. Absolve quaesimus, Domine, nostrorum vincula peccatorum, et quidquid pro eis meremur propitiatus averte. Per Dominum nostrum, Iesum Christum, filium tuum, vitecum vivit et regnat in unitate Spiritus Sancti Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen.